Tonight and next week, we are going to wrap up our series over the book of Romans. Tonight, we have one final lesson focused in on Romans 15, verse 4. There are so many general lessons that can be pulled just from this one verse in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Last week, we examined Jesus' relationship with Scripture. He believed it, he knew it, he respected it, he obeyed it, he shared it. And tonight, as we look at this verse, I want us to consider some of the benefits of the Old Testament to our lives today. Even though we know the Old Testament has been fulfilled, we know that we are not bound by the teachings that are found in it, there are certainly many lessons that are important for us that we can learn from the Old Testament. One lesson that we learn is the importance of the written word. The Apostle Paul, just like Jesus, had great faith in what was written in earlier times. We remember well, and we have spoken about what Jesus said to Satan when he was confronted with temptation in Matthew chapter 4. We know that when Jesus was tempted, each time he responded by saying, "It is written." Paul shared a very similar message throughout the book of Romans. Again and again, he echoes those same words. In Romans 1 verse 17, chapter 3 verse 4, chapter 4 verse 17, chapter 8 verse 36, chapter 9 verse 13, and verse 33, chapter 10 verse 15, chapter 11 verse 8, verse 26 of that same chapter, and then you get to chapter 12 verse 19, chapter 14 verse 11, 15 verse 3, and 9 and verse 21. Now, that's a lot of verses. You're probably thinking, wow, I don't have all those written down. In each of those situations, in each of those settings, Paul talks about the power of the written word. He was basically saying the very same thing that Jesus did. It is written. The written word was important to Christ, it was important to Paul, and it's still vitally important today. Through what is written, we come to have faith in Jesus. Through what is written, we come to believe that through Jesus, through Christ, we can have eternal life. We have that emphasis placed on God's word within the life of Jesus, also within the life of Paul. For us on a daily basis, one of the things that we should be able to say, whether we're face-to-face with Satan, or maybe we're just talking with somebody else about Christ, we should be able to say that very same thing. It is written. This is what God has said. From Romans 15, verse 4, we also see the inspiration of the written word. The word scripture that we find in Romans 15, verse 4, is from a word which means writings. By New Testament times, that word was used by the Jews to refer to that which was inspired. In this text, after Paul spoke of the encouragement that comes through the scriptures, he said, "It is God who gives us this encouragement." It is God who provided us the scripture. Now, Paul, he packed his letter to the church at Rome with many Old Testament references. Why would he do that? Well, he believed that they came from the Lord. He believed that what was written in earlier times, it came from God himself. God's word is set apart. It's set apart from any other book that's ever been written. It is different. It is above. It is inspired. You look at Jesus' life, God's word was set apart. You look at Paul's life, God's word was set apart. You look at our lives, can we say the very same thing? Are we able to say that God's word is set apart in our lives? It certainly was for Jesus, it certainly was for Paul. What about us? Another lesson that we learn from Romans 15, verse 4, is the indestructibility of the written word. There are some institutions that I've looked at in the past through my life that I thought were indestructible. I used to think that marriage was indestructible. Growing up in the home that I grew up in, I thought that was common for everybody. I thought that marriages were built to last across the board. I also used to think that the local church was indestructible. But the local church that I grew up in, they don't even meet anymore. I know without a doubt that God's word is indestructible. We need some places to anchor our lives. We need some places that we can turn to where we know we have support. Places that we can turn to where we know we can find strength. Now, God provides a lot of things for us in life. And one of the things that He gives us that we need are these anchor points. These places we can turn when everything else seems to be changing. Maybe when everything else in our life seems to be falling apart, we need places to go for support. And God provides them. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, he was writing to the nation of Judah. He was trying to convince them to change. Repent, or you're going to face consequences. Repent, or you're going to end up in captivity. Now, we know the message didn't sink in. Judah did not repent. They ended up slaves in Babylon. All the way up through chapter 39, the prophet, the message is the same. Repent, repent, repent. We make it to chapter 40, and we find that there's a shift in the message from the prophet. We know Judah didn't repent, and we know they ended up in captivity. Once we reach Isaiah 40, Isaiah begins to encourage the nation of Judah. He begins to let them know that even though they've seemingly lost everything, that there's still hope. Isaiah 40 verse 1 begins a message of comfort for Israel. Isaiah writes, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." Imagine what it would be like living in those times where you're taken away into captivity. You instantly lose your freedom. Everything that was familiar to you, it's now different. Everything is turned upside down in your life. Their country changed, their language changed, their customs changed, their life situations. It was just torn apart. Isaiah offered them something that wasn't going to change. God's word stayed the same. For a group of people who seemingly had everything changed, this was a place where they could stand. And so Isaiah writes to them, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Over in the New Testament, Peter. He actually quotes from Isaiah. Peter was also writing to a group of people who were struggling. Judah, they were struggling. They were slaves. They were in captivity. These Christians that Peter is writing to here in the first century, they also were struggling. Now, what did they need? Anytime when we go through life and we face some obstacle, we face a struggle, what do we need in life? Sometimes we need hope. Sometimes we need help. That's what Peter offers them. Listen to what he says. He quotes from Isaiah, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." You go back to the Old Testament. Judah was struggling. They were slaves. They were captive. But there was hope. God's word offered them hope. You look at the lives of first century Christians. They were being oppressed. They were being persecuted. Peter knew what they were going through. He went through the very same things. But he lets them know there's hope. Here is a place where you can anchor your life. God's word will last. It's indestructible. It will endure. There's a lot of things in life that just kind of fade away. But God's word is not that way. God's word, it will stand the test of time. And then we also have this lesson from Romans 15, verse 4. It's primarily what Paul was emphasizing. It's the instruction of the written word. We know God's word is inspired. We know that it's indestructible. It also has the ability to instruct our lives. Paul's primary purpose there in Romans 15, verse 4, was to say that the Old Testament scriptures were not only written for the Jews, but they were also written to instruct Christians. Paul made a similar point when he wrote to the church at Corinth. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. Now, this church, historically, they were struggling. They were not unlike Judah in the Old Testament. They were not unlike the Christians that Peter was addressing. They were going through some difficulties. They were struggling with sin. They were struggling with immorality. And what Paul does is he goes back to the Old Testament. He goes back to the example of the Israelites. And what he does is he pulls mistakes that they made in their lives that these Christians could learn from. By doing that, what Paul was showing them, God's word instructs you. Look at what happened to Israel. Look at what happened when they committed these sins. In verse 11, we read, "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." You see similar language from Romans 15, verse 4 to 1 Corinthians 10, 11. What was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Here we have the example of the Israelites and what happened to them. It serves as instruction for us. The failures of the Israelites, recorded in the pages of the Old Testament, provided the Christians at Corinth help. Now look at what Paul did. He starts listing out some of the sins that they committed. They craved evil things. And what happened to them? Tony read it for us earlier. They craved evil things. They chased after things that were wicked, things that were evil. And they were punished. Now, what's the lesson for us from this? What's the lesson for the church at Corinth? Remember, those things happened as an example for this church, for these Christians. They happened as instruction for us. If they chased after evil things and they were punished, now what is going to happen to us if we chase after evil things? We're going to be punished. That's the lesson. And there's a lot of evil things that are out there in the world. There's a lot of things that are wicked that we can pursue. Your Christianity is all about pursuing Jesus. Day by day, we pursue Christ. We pursue the cross. We pursue His purpose, His life. We want to be like Jesus. But what Satan does is he throws all of these other things out in front of us, trying to get our attention away from Christ, trying to get us to pursue evil things. Now, the lesson for us from the Israelites, don't do it. Don't crave evil things. Another lesson we learn from the Israelites that's highlighted here in 1 Corinthians 10, they practiced idolatry and they were punished. Now, what was the lesson for the church at Corinth? What's the lesson for us today? What is going to happen to us if we practice idolatry? We're going to be punished. Now, there are many modern day idols. There's a lot of things that are competing for first place with God. And that's what God wants. God wants to be our main pursuit. He wants to be our priority. But again, there's all of these other things that we're tempted to place above God. The lesson from Israel of old is don't worship idols. Don't place anything above God. Worship God alone. Another lesson from the Israelites, they practiced sexual immorality. And many were killed on the spot. Now, what's the lesson for us? Be pure. Be a people that's set apart. Be a people that pursues God. Sexual immorality, it's alive and well in our world today. a lot of temptations in that area. It was a temptation for the church at Corinth. They were struggling with immorality. We also see in 1 Corinthians 10 that they tried the Lord. They grumbled against him, and they were punished. Now you start to get the picture, don't you? Don't you think the church at Corinth was starting to pick up on it? All right, if they did this and they were punished, if I do that, I'm also going to be punished. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament. Lessons that shape our lives, that instruct us on how we need to live. Now, the Old Testament, while no longer a direct source of moral instruction, it continues to play a vital role in helping believers. It helps us understand salvation. It helps us understand our responsibilities to God as people under the new covenant. There's a lot of things that change in life. There's things that seem to be changing every day. But God doesn't. His word doesn't. These are the places where we can anchor our lives. Maybe you need some of that support tonight. Maybe you need some help. If we can pray for you, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, we want to give you that opportunity now as we stand and sing together.